Shalom, saints, and greetings to each and every one of you in the blessed name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, God has extended His grace by giving us one more day to continue in His Word and in His understanding. Today, we are going to continue and look forward in the same aspect of the glorious Eden. And as we see today, the eighth point, what I would love to tell you here is Adam and Eve enjoyed God's presence but were vulnerable to His presence in judgment. They who once enjoyed God's presence so dearly were now afraid and fearful to meet the same God in His judgment. Adam knew that the same God who is worthy of judgment, yet His presence made them to fear and hide from His presence. It was the guilt of disobedience that caused this reaction. The single prohibition test of God showed how much humanity's willingness to obey God. Nevertheless, yet this narrative foreshadows a future restoration echoing Eden in its description of heaven in the book of Revelation. This first Eden, which is truly the earthly paradise where God placed the first humans, Adam and Eve, and they were in a perfect state of innocence, delight, and perfect provision in the presence of the Almighty God. This Eden truly represented humanity's original state of perfect communion with God before sin entered the world. But it was very much short-lived, and the whole joy of this Eden came crumbling down. Nevertheless, it restored or gave to us a joy that there is a restoration, a hope of being restored to a more perfect Eden and a glorious place that God has in store for us. We truly indeed appreciate God's great mercy that God has kept this as a promise for us in the future to a place which is certainly a glorious Eden. I have no sufficient words of what I could describe the entire joyful situation, the joy and the splendor that we could have in the more glorious Eden that is a promise unto the bride. The entire joyful Eden presence of God was surely lost from Adam, the first parent, on the cost of obedience. So we see in the scripture when God stated to Adam and Eve, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam was aware of the consequences. Adam had the mind of God in him. He knew what the consequence and what the situation would be of disobedience. We see it in the third chapter, verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." That very one act and that very situation of disobedience brought this consequence upon their lives. Truly, a most beautiful, delightful place was lost from mankind. Mankind lost the paradise where it was such a delightful place and a delightful moment with God. But nevertheless, when we come to the book of Revelation, we have a hope. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, what a glorious moment. Truly, though we were lost, or we lost a beautiful place, but the promise of God is still kept alive for us in the future. So we see we have a more glorious Eden. Though Adam's and Eve's disobedient, they lost the first Eden, but there is a Eden, a promising Eden for us in the glorious future. The ninth point that I would love to state here is, when Adam and Eve shared the paradise, or when they were in that beautiful place called Eden, they would have gained the knowledge of good and evil without eating the forbidden fruit. Adam should have crushed Satan's head. The tree of knowledge and good and evil refers to a hidden knowledge, or depicts a metaphorical falling away from moral perfection. But it's none of those things, because everything about creation, including Eden and its many trees, display how amazingly God, the good God, really is. So the question here we see, was the tree of knowledge of good and evil meant to be eaten? Certainly not. It was to be avoided. The scripture says, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that thou would eat of it, you shall surely die. God is clear about why they need to avoid it. If they eat it, they will die. God is also clear that there is no need to eat from it. He provides them with an abundance of fruit, with every other plant available to feast from. God draws a clear boundary to protect His children. He also provides abundantly in every conceivable way, so they feel no need to cross the boundary. And here's the part most people miss. Adam and Eve didn't want to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now, if we understand this part, we see that Adam and Eve lived in perfect harmony in the Garden of Eden. They did not have some kind of strong temptation coming from the tree to eat of the forbidden fruit. They lived in perfect harmony, and they were happy in the splendor of all the different trees that the garden provided. Adam, being a son of God, he knew exactly what is the mind of God and what is the mind of Satan. He knew the wisdom that God had provided him to recognize between good and evil. It was on his part that he would have taken the decision to crush the head of the serpent, because the wisdom that God had provided was sufficient for him to make a right decision. Because of his inappropriate act of faith, he lost the Edenic condition and he was expelled out. Nevertheless, we thank and appreciate God of His great mercy, infinite mercy, that He has promised once again a Eden which is more glorious and much greater than the natural Eden. The 10th point that I would love to state, the final one, Eden had the tree of life, and Adam and Eve were prohibited from eating of it. There was the tree of life, but Adam and Eve were prohibited from partaking or eating of the tree of life. It was a home that was actually taken away from them. It was God's beautiful presence that was taken away, and it was prohibited for them. My brothers and sisters, we see in the second chapter, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So, it was a place for the one beautiful creation of God, that is his son, Adam, whom he loved, and placed him in a beautiful, more appropriate that God intended, the Eden. This first Eden, a perfect place, as God named it as Eden, which means delight or pleasure. A perfect environment, a perfect surrounding to place Adam and Eve. It also had a task of a priestly role, that Adam and Eve were tasked with tending the garden and guarding the garden, using various plants, herbs, to those describing priest duties in the tabernacle, suggesting Eden as a sacred temple-like space. Though a place so pure and beautiful, Genesis Eden was not the final state. It was a place with the potential for growth. And we see that this Eden that got so vulnerable that it eventually got lost because of sin. The glorious Eden, as the Bible particularly describes in the book of Revelation, describes a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem that mirrors this Eden but is perfected, with no more sea, no more death, nothing unclean in it. Oh, glory to God. A place so perfect of perfection. Blessed be His name. This glorious future of this glorious Eden is the ultimate consummation of God's plan, where humanity would live in perfect harmony with the Creator, fulfilling the original purpose of Eden from the eternal plan and purpose of the Almighty. Nevertheless, the Garden of Genesis, or the Genesis Garden, serves as a powerful symbol and blueprint for the glorious and eternal garden to come, representing a journey from the initial perfection through fall to the fall and to the ultimate restoration in God's presence. Finally, my brothers and sisters, I would love to state, the Garden of Eden was not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place. We see that Adam was put in the garden to work and keep it as a priest, not as a high priest. But when Moses had built the tabernacle, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, but that once a year. God had indeed given Adam the duties of a priest to tend the garden, but he was not yet a royal priest, a priest exalted to enter into God's presence. Indeed, he was placed in the garden sanctuary, that is the holy place, to serve and guard the location. The height of Eden still remained at a distance, and such access, that height depends on obedience. Hence, we are looking forward to a home that will be even better than Eden. My brothers and sisters, I hope this has been a time of blessing and understanding a more glorious Eden. God bless you all, and stay blessed as we continue tomorrow on another subject. Praise God. God bless you all.